The bond market doesn't care about Labor Day weekend. Treasury yields have been rising persistently, and the Trump administration's toolbox for managing that appears to be running empty. The playbook that's been tried, Treasury buybacks, public pressure on the Federal Reserve, coordination signaling on yen intervention, has not moved long-term rates in the desired direction. Markets appear to be pricing in a scenario where yields keep climbing, possibly toward a Fed rate hike rather than a cut, and that's a direct contradiction of what the White House has been publicly promising on borrowing costs.
The economist language here is worth unpacking. When a prominent economist calls rising Treasury yields an all-hands-on-deck crisis, they're not being hyperbolic for effect. Elevated long-term Treasury yields mean the federal government's own interest payments keep growing as debt rolls over. They mean mortgage rates stay elevated, which suppresses housing activity. They mean corporate borrowing costs remain high. Every month that the 10-year stays elevated, the fiscal math gets a little harder. The administration's deficit-cutting plans were supposed to improve that math, but those plans appear to be unraveling.
The Bank of America piece from strategist Michael Hartnett is the other major political market intersection today. His call is specific and bold. A Democratic midterm sweep, meaning Democrats recapturing both the House and Senate, would be the largest unpriced political risk currently sitting in equity markets. He's recommending gold and commodities as hedges. That's not a standard hedge recommendation. Gold and commodities as a political risk hedge suggests Hartnett is thinking about scenarios involving major policy reversals, regulatory shifts, and potentially significant tax changes.
What's interesting is that Hartnett isn't alone in this view. He's just the most public about it right now. The political calendar is tightening. Midterms are about 14 months out, and the early polling has enough noise in it that markets genuinely don't know what to price. The S&P futures this morning are sitting at 7,715, essentially flat. And that flatness in the context of everything happening overnight tells you something about where institutional attention is focused.
Now, and I want to be careful to give this the appropriate weight, which is somewhere between a genuine political development and a remarkable piece of performance, Hunter Biden gave a radio interview over the weekend where he hinted at a 2028 presidential run. I've spent 15 years analyzing political signals, and I'm genuinely uncertain how to read this one.
I'll offer a possibility. It doesn't need to be a genuine candidacy signal to have real effects. Hunter Biden's legal history, his father's presidency, and his own public profile make him one of the most recognized names in Democratic politics, for complicated reasons. Even floating a 2028 run shifts the conversation. It recenters his narrative. It also immediately activates every Republican communication strategy around Biden family criticism heading into midterm season.
Which may, in fact, be the point, or at least an acceptable side effect for someone who spent several years on defense in the public sphere. Whether he runs or not matters less right now than what the signal does to the Democratic primary conversation.
And then there's President Trump's continuing renaming initiative. After the Lake America Executive Order, which renamed one of the country's major geographic features and generated significant public backlash, including from people who were otherwise sympathetic to the administration, Trump is now teasing another renaming. He hasn't specified what. The political logic here seems to be about base engagement and cultural dominance signaling rather than any specific policy outcome. But geographic naming has legal teeth. These aren't just rhetorical gestures.
The federal government's authority to rename geographic features through executive action is actually pretty broad. The board on geographic names can be directed. What it can't do is change how state governments, local governments, and private entities refer to things, which is where the cultural resistance plays out over time.